We'll turn to John chapter 13. On Maundy Thursday, we have the three commandments that Jesus gave to his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. That we are to do this in remembrance of me, I believe, verse. We are to wash one another's feet. And then the third one, which is found in John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, obviously, we have heard the commandment to love one another before, because it comes out of Leviticus. And the second great commandment, the first great commandment, obviously, love the Lord your God with all your heart, etc. The second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But notice that here, this is love your neighbor as yourself. And we're the measure then of what that love looks like. Because if I'm loving you as I love myself, then I measure it by how I treat myself. But Jesus gives a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. It's a new commandment because we're no longer the measure of love for the other. Jesus is both the measure and the means by which we are enabled to love the other. You see, before Christ, fulfilling the commandments was accomplished by keeping the law. It was really very simple. Here's the law, do this, and you will fulfill all righteousness. But we measured faithfulness by how we measured up to the Torah, okay? Look at the rich young ruler found in Matthew chapter 19. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" He thinks if you just do certain deeds, then you're going to have eternal life. And he tries to justify himself, saying that he has kept all the commandments. He's done everything that he's supposed to do according to the law. But Jesus replies, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." He is inviting, Jesus is inviting this rich young man to Christ-like sacrificial love. That's what he's doing. Christ-likeness is, if you will, the fulfillment of the new commandment. We love as Jesus loved. We follow him in his life. We become Christ-like in every way that he is. So St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, that we are to always, quote, to always carry in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. We become Christ-like. We are to die to self that we may become alive in Christ Jesus. Now, as was said before, Christ is not only the measure of our love, he's the means. He makes it possible for us to love, because in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we hear that, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We can't love without God, for God is love. And in verse 19, John goes on to say, we love, we carry out this commandment, as it were. We love because he first loved us. That's awesome when you think about that, okay? God is love. And that's not a feeling. That's not an emotion. It's an action, okay? You know, the Hebrew name, the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush, when God said, well, who can I say sent me? And God says, I am, right? That's Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, literally in Hebrew. And do you realize that name, Yahweh, is a verb? It's a verb. It's an action. It's something you cannot be loving without putting it into practice. I can have wonderful, warm feelings for Rachel over here, but if I don't act on it, then the love has never been exercised, right? Amen. I love you.
I love you too.
Okay. Good. And you put up with me. That's nice. But he is love. He is love. And he makes that love active and real for us. If we are to love one another as he loved us, then we must act on that love toward each other. But here's the crux of the deal, okay? I inevitably fall short. I just don't always carry out that love of neighbor, whether it's as myself or love my neighbor as Jesus has loved me, I fall short. It doesn't matter. I'm always coming up a little bit short on all these things. But the good news is that's not news to Jesus. He knew that. He knows that. He's very well aware of that. And he whispers in my ear every now and then, Bill, you missed that opportunity. Or I have an accountability partner that says, Bill, you really screwed up. But Jesus knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows us to the very core of our being. And he knew, says in the gospel tonight, he knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that Thomas would doubt. He knew that all of the disciples would abandon him in his time of need. He knew that. But he still entrusted them with his commandments. He still entrusted them with his love and his commandment to love others. You see, Christ's likeness begins right here at this altar, right here. We have the fulfillment of the new commandment in its genesis, the very beginning, because it comes from him, not from us. When we fall short, he remains faithful. He continues to give us his body and blood. He continues to pour out his warm love upon each one of us, even when we fall short. It begins with Jesus and our relationship with him. When we sit at the table and feed on his body and blood, we are nourished in him and we become what we eat. When we wash one another's feet, we wash the feet of Jesus. But we also take on the image of Christ as we wash someone else's feet. We do as he did. When we watch him in the garden, we answer affirmatively his question, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, I'm here to watch 1 hour. We give our yes to Jesus, that we want to be with him and we want to be like him. With our yes, he begins our transformation into his likeness. And when we walk with him tomorrow to Calvary, we go to die with him on the cross. For when we have died with him, we have his promise that we shall surely live again in him. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going